Come on, church family, just as we're in this moment of worship, the one thing that the Lord wants more than anything else is your heart, is your mind, body, soul. The Bible says, let us love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So just as we think about the words of that song, you can have my heart. I know there's so much going on right now in your life, so much that you're thinking about, so much that you're dealing with. But the awesome news about Jesus is that he is near to us right now. He just wants us to bring the totality of who we are, to bring him our hearts. So I just want you right where you are, just with heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to stand up if you're able to in your house. If you're not able to stand up, you can stay seated. But if you can, lift up your hands to him right now. This is a sign to say, God, I give you my heart. I give you the fullness of who I am in this moment. Because you're worthy of my praise, worthy of the honor. Trusting in you, believing in you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, just for your presence. We thank you, Lord, just for who you are. We thank you, Lord, just for being good to us, even during this pandemic. Even when so many things are taking place, even when there's so much uncertainty surrounding our lives in this nation, this country, and even this world right now, Lord, we have confidence because you are with us. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that in these next few moments, as your word goes forth, as your word will bring forth encouragement, that it would comfort, maybe even challenge, but most of all, that it would bring us to a greater place in you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, and every person said, amen. Come on, church family, right online. I want y'all to make some noise for Jesus, man. Put some digital hand claps in the comment section, man. Make some noise for him because he's worthy to be praised. Once again, church family, so good to see all of you guys online. I miss seeing all of you all on a regular basis, man. I'm praying for you guys. Ariel, we're praying for you together. Our church family is praying for one another, man, but we just want you to know that no matter how difficult this season is, that you're not going through this thing alone, man, that you got other people who are going through it with you, but more importantly, you got a God who's fighting for you during this time, and I want you to know if there's anything that we can do for you as your church family, I want you to let us know. Reach out to us. Send us an email, care@thebridgechurchva.com, because we want to serve you. We want to minister to you. And want to be able to encourage you and come alongside you during this season. We know it's difficult. I've had so many different conversations with different people who've experienced the loss of loved ones, who've experienced job loss, who are facing health issues. And it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of thinking like, man, like, I'm in this thing by myself, but I want you to know you're not alone. God is with you. His people are with you. We're here with you. That's what this is all about. So reach out to us. Let us know how we can serve you and bless you and make a difference. And even while I'm talking about making a difference, a big shout out to our entire team and our church family, everybody who serves and is making a difference, people who are running sound for all this to happen, playing keys and recording on video and our Connect Group leaders and our admin team, and we got so many people in our church that are making a difference. And so big shout out to all of our phenomenal family who are serving during this time, even in this pandemic. And one of the things that we are doing right now during this month of August is something that we call 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And if you happen to be new here today, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting is a time where we seek God intentionally for 21 straight days. Fasting is a physical discipline that has spiritual implications. It's us denying our flesh. It's us saying no to certain types of food or even TV, maybe giving up some habits for 21 days that maybe aren't helpful but are harmful to us, but allows us to say no to those things so that way we can say yes to God himself. And so I want to invite you along this journey with us for 21 days of prayer and fasting. I believe that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And so if you haven't already been a part of this journey, man, jump in. Even for some of you guys who are like, man, I tried fasting, Pastor Edwin, and I tried for like 5 minutes, I failed. I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. You can start over today, start over tomorrow, whatever it is, but be a part of this season, man. We need to pray. We need to seek God through fasting because, man, this season this stuff already, and we need to get clarity and hear from God. And also, if this is your first time watching us online, big shout out to you, Bridge family. Make some noise for all of our first time guests, man. So good to see all of you guys here. And if this is your first time, if you could do me a favor, I want you to text the word BFAM to 94,000, so that way we can send you a gift and just encourage you and let you know that we're here for you and we're here to serve you. And so last but not least, before I get into the word, I want to say thank you, church family, for your generosity during this season, because it's allowing us to be able to meet the needs of so many people in our community, in our church, in our country, and really our world at large. And one of the things that we are doing right now is we are partnering with Burbank Elementary School, who is really their campus right across the street from our physical location. But we're partnering with them. We're supporting their teachers financially in different ways. We're supporting their students by resourcing them. And they've actually reached out to us just about some of the needs that some of the students are having right now. You know, school is getting ready to start back up. For some of you guys watching, where maybe you're watching in a whole nother state, school might be starting up virtually. Maybe it's starting up in person, but here's a common need during this season. We need school supplies. Students need school supplies. And Burbank Elementary School, many of the students there actually need some school supplies. And so they reached out to us and asked if we would be willing to partner with them. And you know, Bridge Church family, our response is always yes when it comes to making a difference. And so what they're asking us to do is to give $5, which goes toward helping individual students to be able to cover crayons and pencil boxes and notebooks and things of that nature. $5 per student. And y'all already know what I'm about to ask if you've been a part of our church family. I don't want you just to give five. I want you to give 10. Some of you guys can give 20. Some of y'all can give 50. Some of y'all can give even more than that. But let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so online on our website, if you go to our website, thebridgechurchva.com, when you click the giving link, look for the link that says Burbank Elementary School. I want you to click that link so that way we can know that you are giving specifically towards that, so that way we can resource that school. But thank you so much, church family, in advance for your generosity. So all that being said, I'm ready to dive into God's word. I hope you guys were encouraged last week as we started our brand new series, Entanglements. Somebody say Entanglements right there, right as you're watching this, Entanglements. And this is not a series about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. It's not about that. I just want y'all to know that. There's no shade to them. I love Will Smith. I love the red table talk. I think all of us need a red table talk moment in our life. Some of y'all are like, no, I don't want that smoke. No, we need moments where we can just come to the table and be honest. And so this series is all about entanglements. And it's all about helping us to get free of some of the things that have entangled us, some of the things, the habits that have maybe restricted us, the practices, even the sins that can lead to us being in bondage and unable to move forward in the way that God wants us to move. And I think today's message is going to speak to all of us. I think today's message is going to comfort you, but I also think it's probably going to convict you. And I can say that because all of those things happened for me as I was preparing it for us today. And so I want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Here's what Jesus' words say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? I want you to write down in the chat, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Come on. You have little faith, Jesus says. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, what we will drink, what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry. Everybody say worry. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so today I'm calling our message for today, Hopefully it's going to encourage you and move us to where God wants us to be. But I'm calling today's message, The Web of Worry. The Web of Worry. And I want to pray for us one more time. Father, as we hear your word, I pray that you will set us free. I pray that you will move us from a place of bondage to a place of freedom. I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Help us to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it as well. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. The web of worry. Big shout out to those of you guys who are watching us from all over the world. Some of y'all are watching from VA. I want you to comment down in the comment section wherever you're watching this from, California, Florida. We had some of our church family who recently moved to Hawaii. Big shout out to all of our Hawaii family right now. But I wanted to know where you guys are watching us from, because we love to see how God is taking the ministry of our church all over the world. But today I want to talk about worry, because one of the greatest entanglements that we find ourselves in is in this web called worry. And I can already feel it through the video, through the camera. I can feel it right now. Like, man, this one right here, this is me. I deal with the whole worry thing. I find myself entangled in worry. And Pastor Robert Smith, he says this about worry. Worry is paying rent on a problem that hasn't happened yet. Worry is paying rent on a problem that hasn't happened yet. And I love that, because I think it connects so much with what's happening here in Matthew chapter 6. Because here in Matthew chapter 6, this is a part of what's known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's a sermon that spans over the course of Matthew chapter 5 all the way to the end of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is giving a breakdown of what life looks like in the kingdom and what the lives of kingdom citizens should look like. And he comes to this portion in this sermon where he begins to talk about that word, worry. And in verse 25, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Now, immediately, some of you guys are hearing this message, and you're like, Pastor, I'm about to log off, because I didn't want to hear anything about not worrying today. But the words of Jesus, I think, are prophetic, especially for where we are right now. Because when we look at our world and when we take a survey of our lives, you're like, man, Jesus, I hear you saying, don't worry. But if I look around in my own life, if I look around in this world, it's like there's a whole lot to worry about right now. Like, this is happening over here. This is happening over here. How can you say, don't worry? What's this whole thing about not worrying? I think that's it brings us to what I'm calling first the reality of worry. Because when we're dealing with worry, there's a reality that surrounds it. Matter of fact, this word worry that Jesus uses here in the Greek of the New Testament, it actually means to be anxious, means to be troubled, it means to have unease. And notice that when Jesus speaks of worry and the things that specifically the disciples were concerned about, his other listeners were concerned about, ultimately us and what the things that we're concerned about, notice the things that Jesus says not to worry about. He says, why do you worry about food and drink? Notice verse 25. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or even about your body, the clothes that you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? It's interesting, because all these things that Jesus mentions, I don't know if you notice a common denominator with all these things that he mentions, from food to drink to clothes, they all share a common trait. You ready for it? The common trait that they all share is that all of them are temporary. Meaning this, they are exhaustible. Meaning that eventually they run out. Which is why at the end of the month, you're having to go grocery shopping again, because food more than likely has run out. which is why every so often, every few years, you gotta get a new pair of shoes or some new clothes, because your clothes maybe that you've had for some time, eventually they begin to become worn out. It's the same thing with consuming liquids. It's just that, like, eventually these things run out. They are temporary in nature. They all run out. Now, I want you to understand what Jesus is not doing. Jesus is not diminishing their importance. How do we know that to be true? Because Jesus fed 5,000 people. So obviously he's not saying that food isn't valuable. Jesus hung out with sinners. Jesus was clothing the naked. So it wasn't like Jesus is sitting here diminishing the value of these items. No, 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 no. What Jesus is talking about is when you and I get to this place where we are so consumed and we have anxiety about these things, that's when it begins to occupy a place in our lives and in our hearts where they're not supposed to occupy. He's highlighting that they are important, but they're not of most importance. He says, you guys are worried about temporary things that are always changing. Always changing. You could buy some clothes today, and 5 years from now, they might be out of style. Some of y'all are like, man, I don't care if it's in style or not. I'm gonna rock what I'm gonna rock. But the bottom line is this, like, it's temporary. It runs out. They're always changing. And here's what I've realized. And I think you could probably agree with this, that the things that we worry about the most are oftentimes the things that change the most. The things that we typically worry about the most are the things that are always changing. The things that we give all of our attention to more than likely, if we could be honest today, are the things that are constantly moving. It's like chasing a rabbit. It's hard to keep up. Here's a few things I want you to understand about worry. Number one, practically speaking, worry is a stressor. Worrying is stressful. And it is so stressful that studies have actually shown that it has been proven to impact your health. Here's what one study actually says, that worrying can make you more likely to have high blood pressure, a heart attack, or a stroke. Here's why. Because higher levels of anxiety or worry can trigger those stress hormones that make your heart beat faster and harder. And ultimately, if that happens over and over, what happens is your blood vessels eventually become inflamed. Here's what happens. When you and I, here's what the study says, worry about something, these stress hormones also give you a burst of fuel in the form of blood sugar, which becomes problematic if your blood sugar stays high for too long, because it is that leads to the heart disease, the strokes, kidney disease, or even heart attacks. I don't know if y'all know this or not. Worrying is stressful. It causes stress on our bodies. It causes stress on our minds. Here's another thing that worry is. Worry is also a stealer. It's a thief. It robs you of the present because you're constantly thinking about the next. It robs you of the joy of today because your mind is constantly going to the next. It robs you. This is why Jesus later on says, who can add a single hour to his or her life by worrying? Here's another thing that worry is. Are you ready for this? This really is going to convict you because I know it convicted me. Worry, I don't know if you know this or not, worry is a sin. It is sinful. Well, Pastor, how can you say that it's sinful? Notice what Jesus says here. Verse 25, don't worry about your life. Do not. That's a command. Don't worry about your life. Notice what he says in verse 31. So don't worry. It's another command. Don't worry. He says it twice. Notice what he says at the end in verse 34. Therefore, you know what he's about to say, don't worry. Now, fundamentally speaking, this is the word of God. And if God has said to avoid something and to not do something, the minute I decide to do the opposite, biblically speaking, that's sinful. Because now I'm going against the word of God. Later on in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says something like this. Do not be anxious for anything. Some translations say, do not worry about anything. In other words, to go against the word of God is sinful in nature. You don't believe me? Look at Genesis. God tells Adam and Eve, you are free to eat from every tree, but do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What happens? They eat from the tree of knowledge of evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They now have sinned against God because they disobeyed God, and now sin comes into the world. Fundamentally speaking, worrying is a sin. It is sinful in nature. I know some of us are like, man, Pastor, how can you say it's sinful? And here's the reason why sometimes we maybe will push back against that thought. It's because worrying is so natural for us to do. That because it's a part of our natural being, saying not to worry is, for many of us, myself included at times, it's almost like saying stop breathing. Because we worry in many ways just as much as we breathe. And what Jesus is trying to help us understand here is, this is not the way I want you to live. My desire is not for you to be caught up in the web of worry. No, 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 no. My desire is for you to be free of worry. One writer says it like this, that someone has said that the average person is crucifying him or herself between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. They say it is right to plan for the future and even to save for the future. Why? Because the Bible speaks about it. So there's nothing wrong with thinking about the future and planning for the future. But it is a sin to worry about the future and permit tomorrow to rob today of its blessings. Worry is so common, y'all. We do it all the time. I do it all the time. So easy to get into, man, what's going to happen this with this? Man, what's going to happen here? Man, what's... Man, how is this going to work out? Man, I lost my job. How is this going to happen? I get it. I understand why you're worrying. I think we understand that. But it's still the problem of worrying. And all of us have found ourselves entangled in this web of worry. And y'all, we're worrying about a myriad of things right now in life. Worried about a whole lot of things right now. Worried about getting COVID. I can't get Corona. We got a joke to try to lighten up things in our life, but it's still real, man. I ain't trying to get that Rona. Can't get that. Why? All seriousness. Because for some people, it just may be a common cold. But for some people, it's a death sentence. So I'm worried because I don't want to get that. Oh, but the numbers say, but only, 98% of the people survive. But man, the 2% though, that's real. So we're worrying, filled with so much anxiety about it. Worried about politics. What's going to happen in November? How's our country going to look? Worried about this. We're worried about that. Worried about our economy. How are we going to make it financially? Stock market is plunging. We're in the worst financial time, many say, since the Great Depression. I'm worried. What's my life going to look like a month from now? I'm worried because now unemployment, and if I'm unemployed and I've lost my job during this tragic time, and now the government's talking about decreasing the unemployment rate from this amount to that amount. I'm stressed out. Worried. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Worried. Worried as a parent about schools being virtual or in person. I'm worried. I'm worried if my kids go to school, they might catch something. But I'm worried if my kids don't go to school, I'm not going to be able to work. I can't afford to take off the next 5 months. I want to keep my kids safe, but I also want to keep the lights on. Come on, somebody. Man, it's just so much. Having enough money to make ends meet. Oh, here's one that's really dividing a whole lot of people. A whole lot of us watching this right now, man, worried about this. Wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. Worried, anxiety. depression, all these things. And I just want to ask us an honest question. I just want to know, I want to make sure that I'm not the only one who falls victim and falls prey to the temptation of worrying. How many of y'all right now are worried about something like at this very moment? And this is you. If you could be honest with your pastor, I want you in the comment section to give me a raise the hand emoji. Matter of fact, some of you guys might need to do this like 15 to 20 times because you're worried about a whole lot of stuff right now. I think all of us, if we have not been worried about something, we might be dealing with worry right now. Because it's a lot to think about. But here's the thing, our worries, at the end of the day, they don't really add anything helpful. They don't add anything beneficial to our lives. They add no value to our lives spiritually. Contrary to what we believe, there is nothing that worry can actually change about our situation. This is why Jesus says in verse 27, can any of you add one moment to his life again by his lifespan by worrying? And here's the answer to that rhetorical question, no. Not one bit. We can't change nothing by worrying. One author named Glenn Turner says it like this: worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. So you active, but you ain't going nowhere. It's like running nowhere fast. It's like being on a treadmill. You running, but you ain't going nowhere. We're on a treadmill called worry. Here's what another author, unknown, says: worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. Worry. Some of y'all are like, what's a dark room? Some of y'all, you know, Gen Zers are like, man, what is that? You know, well, back in the day, when pictures were taken, they would go into a dark room in order to get developed. Pictures were called negatives. And they would stay in the dark room for some time, come out, pictures developed. But here's the principle. There is nothing positive that comes with worry. And I get it. You're saying, but Pastor, I got every reason to be worried right now. How are these bills going to get paid? What's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen with my classes this year? Am I going to see my friends anytime soon? How am I going to teach my kids at home? Yeah, I don't want my kids to get coronavirus, but I don't know a thing about algebra. I don't know nothing about no calculus. Kids making me look like a fool right now. Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. Kids come up here correcting you. No, mommy, you got it wrong. And you're like, man, how am I going to do this? How? And you're stressing out about it, and you're losing sleep about it, and your blood pressure's up. Some of you all, your blood pressure's been up recently because of your anxiety and because of your worry. Because of your stress level, because of your worry, some of us are eating ourselves eating ourselves into a frenzy to try to cope with this thing called worry and these problems that we're. Some of us are drinking ourselves so crazy to escape the pressure of everything that's going on right now. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, one of our church members, and he's kind of sharing how on his job, there's a situation on his job that he overheard. One of his coworkers was essentially talking somebody off of the cliff from taking their own life. Y'all, we got a lot going on. Anxiety, worry. And I believe, though, in the midst of that, Jesus is saying to you today and to me today, I've got something to tell you. This is how Jesus speaks to me. I got something to tell you. You ready for it? Chill out. Calm down. Take some deep breaths. I got you. I think if I would have stopped, I could stop the message right there. That is the word for many of you right now. Jesus is speaking to you right now in this moment, and here's what he's telling you. Calm down. I know there's a lot going on right now. I know the winds of life right now are howling. I know the rains of life are coming down right now. I know it seems like everything is going out of control right now. Calm down. Chill out. I got you. Jesus, how can you tell me not to worry? I got every reason to worry. No, no, no. Jesus would say, no, I'm going to give you reasons why you don't have to worry. This is my second point. The reason is not to worry. Notice what Jesus says in verse 26. Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Watch what he says next. Aren't you worth more than they? aren't you worth more than the birds of the sky? And the answer is yes. And why are you worth this much to God? Because of the fact that you were made in the likeness and image of God. You are his child. You are his own. And as a good father, God cares about you. God cares about you. That's one of the biggest reasons why you don't have to worry. Because God cares about you. Notice what Luke chapter 12, verse 7 says. I got this as I was preparing, and I was like, man, I can't wait to share this. Luke chapter 12, verse 7 says, indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Sparrows are birds. Remember what Jesus said, that if he feeds the birds of the air, here he's saying, you are worth more than sparrows. But I want you to notice what Jesus says in the beginning. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted. Let me ask you this question. How do you count the hairs on somebody's head? You get close to them. That in order for you to actually be able to count the hairs on my head, that means you got to get close enough to see. And I think some of you guys might have just missed this awesome nugget of wisdom right here. That in order for God to say that the numbers of the hairs on your heads are counted, it shows multiple things. Number one, that God is omniscient, that he knows all things. But it also shows another major characteristic of God, that God is omnipresent and that he's close to you. That means in the middle of all the stuff you are going through right now, God is close enough to you to be able to count the number of hairs on your head. Can I get a good amen in the comment section? It means that God is close to you. It means that his word is true, never to leave you, never to forsake you, never to abandon you. God is close to you because he cares about you. But not only does God care about you, here's another reason why you don't have to worry. God knows your need. Look at what verse 32 says in Matthew 6. It says these words, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father, watch this, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. For the Gentiles, Gentiles represent people who don't know God. Gentiles here represent people who are far from God. Gentiles represent people who don't believe in God. He says, no, not with you. You believe in God, and you know that he is your Father. So you don't have to go chasing after all these things like people who don't have a Father in heaven. No. You don't have to go worrying about all these things like people who have no hope. No. You can have hope in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of racial inequity, in the midst of economy going down. You can have hope because your Father not only cares about you, but he knows what you need. That's the good news. He knows that you need them. God is not falling asleep at the wheel. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers, which means this: God knew about the need and the predicament that you would be in way before you got into it. He knows the end from the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Everything starts with God. Everything ends with God. Why? Because he stands outside of time. He is eternal in nature. He knows all things, and he knows exactly what you need. Watch this now, and he knows how to get it to you too. Just like the birds of the air don't go around praying, God, would you feed us? No. He provides for them. The lilies of the field get what they need. He says, aren't you worth more than they? Jesus gives us these reasons not to worry. The reasons are that God cares about me. Some of you have come up here and logged on to this broadcast today, and you wonder whether or not God cares about you. I'm here to let you know that God absolutely does care about you. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, which means you were always on my mind. Every little thing you do, you're on. Some of y'all don't know about that. Little 90s reference. All right, I'm back. He cares about you. He cares. He cares about what you're concerned about right now. And he knows what you need. Pastor, I'm broke right now. I spent all my savings to try to make it through this pandemic. God knows. He knows what you need. But Pastor, my family right now is struggling. My marriage is hanging on by a thread. He knows, he cares. He knows what you need. God is not distant. No, 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 he's with you. That's why the Bible calls him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not just when it's good, but when it's bad. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. How can goodness and mercy follow me? Because God is with me in the valley. Some of you guys are in the valley moment right now. I get it. You're struggling. You're stressed. You're worried. You're anxious. I'm giving you the reason, letting you know that you don't have to worry anymore because God's got you. Which leads me to my next and last point, what I'm calling the response or the remedy for worry. Notice what Jesus says in verse 31. He says these words, "So don't worry saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear?" You can substitute that for anything else right now. How will we make it through the fall? What are we going to do about this job? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about the election? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to, like, substitute whatever your need is. He says, don't worry about that. "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom," the kingdom. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Here is the remedy. Here is the response to when we are tempted to worry. Are you ready for it? Rather than worry, we seek God, our King. We seek his will. We seek his ways. We seek his word. What is our response to God? What is our response, rather, to when worry comes? You ready for it? It's two words. Trust God. But Pastor, that's too simple. The reason why it sounds so simple is because you and I have spent a lifetime building off of nothing but worry. Trust God. The opposite of worrying is trusting. What do I mean by trust God? Seek him. Follow him. Follow his word. And when you seek him with all of your heart, and when you follow him in his word, and when you obey his word, watch what he does. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What are your requests right now? I want you to present them to God. Matter of fact, go ahead and start writing them down in the comment section. Go ahead. What are your requests right now? I'm requesting healing. I'm requesting provision. I'm requesting clarity. I'm requesting wisdom. I'm requesting peace in my house. I'm requesting this. Go ahead. Present your requests to God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me help you understand something. Until you trust God, you will not experience the peace of God. Many of us want the peace of God without trusting God. And I'm here to let you know that the only way you can experience the peace of God is you got to trust God. And here's the reason why you can trust God. Here's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." This is good news, church family. Why? Because it means this. Every time you and I are tempted to worry, here is the solution. Trust God. How do I trust God? Go pray. Pray about it. Fast about it. Read God's word about it. Let me say this, and I'm going to challenge some of us right now. If some of us would pray as much, if not more, than we worry, we would be able to walk in so much peace right now. If we would pray more than we would worry, man, there would be the peace of God flooding throughout our household. I'll say it like this, that what you worry about the most shows where you trust God the least. What you worry about the most shows where you trust God the least. And we get caught in the web of worry. Oftentimes, I've done it, I've been caught, when we trust the resource over the source. God never called you to trust your job. He never called you to trust the economy. He called you to watch it, to be aware. But he didn't call you to put your full weight on it. He called you to trust him. Because my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Our response to worry is to do this. Trust God. And I want to say this plainly to you. Do what God has called you to do and leave the rest to him. That's it. That's the decision that I've made. God, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to let you handle the rest. I'm tired of losing sleep about this. I told somebody the other day, y'all can't see it right now. I've seen more gray hairs pop up in my hair over the past 5 months than they have ever had in my life. Some of that is due to stress and worry. Some of that's also due to 3 blessings in my house. Some of it might also be due to my incredible wife. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. She's here right now. I love you, darling. You're incredible. In all seriousness, though, like, man, this worry has gripped our hearts, man. And this message even sounds so foreign to so many of us because you've spent your whole life worrying. And God's like, you've been living with a stronghold and called it normal. There's a term that psychologists have coined. It's called the abnormal normal. It is when we say that what is abnormal, because we're so used to it on a regular basis, now we call it normal. And Jesus is saying, in my kingdom, nobody be worrying about nothing. Because of who's on the throne. The king that's in this kingdom, you ain't gotta worry about nothing. It doesn't mean that things won't happen to you. Things will happen to you. In this life, Jesus said, you will have many troubles. But take heart, he says, because I've overcome the world. I'm telling you to do this. Do what God's called you to do. Let him handle the rest. You know what your job is? Your job and my job is obedience. God's job is outcome. And where many of us get tripped up, and I can say this because I've done this, where many of us get tripped up is where we're trying to do God's job. And God says, it's too much for you. It'll literally kill you. Just trust me. So we trust God over all things. We don't trust our jobs, we trust God. We don't trust the economy, we trust God. We don't trust our resources. Come on, somebody, we trust God. We seek God. We seek Jesus and him alone. That's who we trust. Today, God has brought this word to set many of you free from the web of worry. You've been entangled in this thing for too long. Aren't you ready to be free? I'm not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about things. I'm not saying that you shouldn't give attention to certain things. I'm talking about when you put your trust in it and you give your entire being to it. Instead, I want you to do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why? Acknowledge him in all your ways. Why? Because if you do, he will direct your path. Some translations say, he will make your path straight. Some others say, he will make your path smooth, even in the midst of a rocky time. And I believe that today, God is saying, I want to set you free from the web of worry. I want to detangle you from being caught in the trap of worry, because for too long, you've been worried. For too long, you've been stressed. For too long, you've lost sleep. For too long, you've been going crazy. But today is the day where you get free. And I'm talking to some of you here today, and man, the worry of life has become so strong on you. It's led to your depression. It's led to sleepless nights. Some of you guys haven't had a good night of sleep over the past 5 months because of everything that's happening. And I get it. I understand the why, but I'm telling you that no longer does that have to be the case for you. Some of you, the weight has become so strong and so heavy. Some of you, I'm talking to some of you right now, some of you have even thought about ending your life because you're like, man, I just need some relief. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is your relief. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your rest. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is your freedom, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, somebody, I need you to believe that and get that in your heart, that Jesus is here and he is for you. And he is saying, you don't have to worry any longer. If God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, aren't you more valuable than they? Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. You don't have to worry about anything because God will take care of it. God will meet the need. God will provide. And some of you are here and you've never even invited Jesus into your life. You've been walking through life worrying and just a wreck because you've been trying to micromanage your life. And let me ask you this question, how's that been working? And I can say this from experience, it don't work well, do it? You need Jesus. He's the only one that can detangle you from these things. He's the only one that can meet your need. He's the only one that can meet every single need that you have in your life. And so if you're here today, you're watching this, and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today is the day I'm going to get free of this web of worry, and I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. If that's you, what I want you to do right in your room, your living room, your car, the gym, wherever you're watching and listening to this from, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my worries. I give you my cares. I give you my concerns. Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins on the cross, and that you rose back to life to give me life, life more abundantly. Jesus, I receive your peace. I receive your love. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, church family, right where you are, put your hands together for those who have said yes to Jesus. Come on, I need y'all to make some digital noise in the comments, because I believe that we got some people who are being set free right now from the web called worry. Come on, make some noise right where you are. We thank Jesus for all that he has done. And if you prayed that prayer, here's what I'm asking you to do right now in this moment. I want you to text the words, I decided, to 94,000. What we want to do as a church is we want to follow up with you. We want to help you walk out this life of freedom. Doesn't mean that you won't ever encounter roadblocks. It doesn't mean that you won't ever encounter difficulties. Matter of fact, you will. It's going to happen. But here's the thing. You ain't got to worry about them no more, because you give it over to Jesus. You have now given him the authority to take care of your life. That's the good news of Jesus. It's just saying, Jesus, you got me. You got my whole heart, Jesus. You got my resources. Come on, you got my kids. You got my job. I don't know what's going to happen with this whole COVID thing, but I'm giving that to you. I'm not going to lose any more sleep about this thing any longer. No. Jesus, I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving you my worries. I'm casting all my cares on you because you care for me. That's what we're doing. That's the freedom that now you have today. And so I'm excited about what God is going to do in your life. I'm excited about what God is doing right now in this season through our church, through this ministry. I believe that God is using this moment right here to set people free. And matter of fact, before we end this worship experience, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand right now in your room. I want you to, if you can, I want you to open up your mouth right now, and I want you to lift up your hands before God, and I want you to tell him right now, God, I give you my worry. God, I give you my anxiety. God, I'm giving you all my cares. I'm casting it upon you in this moment. I'm trusting you with all of my heart. I'm trusting you with all of my soul. I'm trusting you with everything in my life right now. This is a holy moment where you worship him, and we focus our attention on Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. If Jesus was strong enough to handle the grave and to die on the cross for your sins, if Jesus was strong enough to beat death itself, Jesus is strong enough to handle whatever it is that you've been losing sleep about. This is the moment. This is the moment where your life will no longer be the same. This is the moment where your life will be forever change. I believe that God is setting people free right now in the name of Jesus. I believe that God is transforming lives right now. I believe that God is opening up blinded eyes right where you are. This is the day. Mark this day. whatever date this is that you're watching this, this is the day where you are free from worry. You will be tempted to worry every single day. But the good news of Jesus is that no longer do you have to, because you can seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for every single person watching this, listening to this. I pray for freedom right now. I pray that you will bring us to a place of perfect peace. You said that you keep those in perfect peace, those whose minds are stayed on you. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we repent of the times where we have worried so much. We didn't trust you. You've never failed us. You are one who does not lie. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it, we believe it. If you said you'll provide, we believe you'll provide. If you said that you can heal, we believe that you will heal. If you said that you'll never leave us, we believe that you will always be with us. We believe it right now in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, right where you are, put your hands together. Worship God for all that he's done and for who he is.